Today's learning is dedicated to Nishmas Chana Bas Yitzchok, whose yahrzeit is today, who's the mother of one of our active participants in our shurim, all three of the shurim here in Young Israel, Rani Adler. How many years is it?
Fourth year.
I had the pleasure of knowing a few of Rani's children, Baruch Hashem, really following a beautiful Messiah that they must have seen in their home, and Rani must have seen in his home, and Mr. Shem, they should continue, and to be a source of nachas for him, his entire mishpacha, and Mr. Shem, she should be a melech yeshiva for the family, and for all of Klal Yisrael. Parshas Kisavai is quite a loaded parsha. A lot of different things are in Parshas Kisavai, but for many, the highlight of Parshas Kisavai is the Bikurim. And what the Chazal tells us about Bikurim is quite fascinating. The Chazal tells us, quoted in Midrashim, that it says, Bereish is bar lekim b'shvil Yisrael shenikareishis. We know the world was created because of the Jewish people. We know the world was created for the sake of Torah, b'shvil Torah shenikareishis. And there's one more part of the Medrash, b'shvil bikurim shenikareishis, that the world is in existence today due to the fact that we have the bikurim. So the obvious question is, if you had to pick a mitzvah in the Torah that you'd say is the reason for creation, it probably wouldn't be bikurim. We'd probably think of a lot of other mitzvahs besides for Bikurim, because the mitzvah is not even negay today. We don't even do Bikurim today. So how could it be, or what's the understanding that mitzvah Bikurim is so integral? For that reason, the world was created. Secondly, the Sifri tells us that Klal Yisrael merited going into Eretz Yisrael. The reason why we got Eretz Yisrael was bezchus the Bikurim. So there's a first question is that we only do Bikurim once we go into Eretz Yisrael. So how could it be that's why we got to go into Eretz Yisrael? But a more basic question is, what is so special about Bikurim that gives us the ability to move into Eretz Yisrael? What is the connection between keeping Bikurim and moving to Eretz Yisrael? So the Auschwitz has a famous idea in explaining the Bikurim. He says the idea of the Bikurim is Hakara Satoif. When we bring these fruits that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to have, to grow in our fields, we bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we offer it to Him, and we say, thank you Hashem. This is my way of thanking you for all the good you give me. That's the idea of Bikurim. And the Mepharshim point out, in the Parsha Bikurim, a person has to have simcha, v'samachta, he's supposed to be happy. Why? Because when a person expresses gratitude, he does it b'simcha. A person's supposed to be happy, does it out loud, he has to do it b'peh. This has to be recited by mouth, this is not a thought. When a person expresses his gratitude to another person, or to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to do it b'simcha. Therefore, says the Mepharshim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so valued in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why the whole world was created, because of Bikurim. This idea that we're able to appreciate something that someone else does for us, or something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, is so valued in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why the world was created, because of Bikurim. There's a medrash in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis says that when Adam HaRishon got in trouble for the Eitz Hadas, it wasn't so much because he ate from the fruit. Of course, that was a violation. But what was his response to when Hashem said, why did you eat? He said, the woman that you gave me, the wife that you gave me, fed me food that I wasn't supposed to eat. Says the Medrash, that was the mistake. That was Kafri Toif. Because Baruch Hu gave you a gift. Hashem felt it wasn't Kedai for you to be in the world alone. Hashem gave you a present. And you Kafri Toif. Points out the Medrash that Kosh Baruch Hu has no patience, so to say, for Kafri Toif. Kosh Baruch Hu values to be Makir Toif, Akaris Toif, and the opposite is Kafri Toif. And Menachem Zemba quotes from the Arizal that the bring of Bikurim was Mechaper on the Chet HaMeraglim. How is it Mechapa and Mechet the Meraglim? Because what was the Meraglim's mistake? They walked into Eretz Yisrael and all they saw was bad. Everything was bad and everything was no good. Shouldn't they have had a much more optimistic outlook and said, you know what? It's pretty good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us. He's done so much for us. He continues to do so much for us. Let's have an upbeat look. They didn't have that. They had a very negative and everything is bad look. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgot us. And we're going to be swallowed up here. That's what we bring to Bikurim. The Hakaras HaTov, the element of appreciation for all the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, is to be mechaper on that negative attitude. The attitude that everything is bad and everything is horrible and the world is coming to an end. That look, that idea is the exact opposite of Bikurim. And that's why it's connected to Eretz Yisrael. To go into Eretz Yisrael, you have to be able to be Makir Toif. Eretz Yisrael is going to be an experience that Klal Yisrael is going to have with a lot of ups and downs. A lot of good and a lot of bad and a lot of... Out of Yemez, every day we live with that. There's so much good in Eretz Yisrael, there's never so much tragedy in Eretz Yisrael. How can a person say all the good? The answer is, if you're a true Makir Toif, if a person has true value of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he looks to himself and he says, this is good. By and large, everything here is good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to me. He gives me good things. He does what's right for me. And that's why B'schus Bikurim Klal Yisrael merited to go into Eretz Yisrael. I was 2 weeks ago, I was in Dutch Wonderland. Because there's halacha. It's ready, and I think in the Rishonim, that between camp and school, you have to take your kids on vacation. I'm pretty sure it's already in the Rishonim. I don't know where they went. I'm curious. But it's already a halacha that you have to go on vacation. So we went on vacation to a Dutch Wonderland in Pennsylvania. And I was leaving the park. It was already closing. It was 6, 7 o'clock. Who was the only people left in the park? Achenu B'nai Yisrael. That was the only people left. We were Davi Mincha. One group was Davi Ma'ariv. It was wild. It was like, you know, Shemesh Shabbos in Borough Park. But in any case, so I met a fellow who lived in my neighborhood in Queens. And I said to him, I said, you first come into the park now. It's closing. I said, I know I saw your family earlier. And this is the first time I'm seeing you. Why? Where were you till now? He said, because we really came up the night before. And we were driving, and we left Queens, whatever, it was 6 o'clock at night. And we got to the Pennsylvania, we got to the hotel right across from Dutch Wonderland. As we pulled into the parking lot, the car died. And I was busy the whole day today figuring out how to fix the car, going to the mechanic, a whole handle. So I looked at the fellow, I said, wow, that must be a very big damper on the vacation, to start a vacation with your car breaking down. So the guy looks at me, and he tells me, what are you talking about? He said, you have no idea how much Hashem loves me. I said, okay, let's hear this one. I said, let me hear, explain. So he says, think about it. I could have broken down anywhere along this trip. From New York to Pennsylvania, it's like 3 hours. I was traveling with small children, I was traveling at night. I could have broken down anywhere. Now, obviously today with cell phones, it's a little better than breaking down, you know, years before. He said, but think about it, because Baruch Hu is such a taiva. He allowed me to break down when I was pulling into the parking lot. This way, we were all safe. We were able to unload. The mechanic is a mile down the road, but everyone was where they needed to be. And my kids got to go to the whole park today without him being there. So I thought about it, and he's 100% right. That was the best part. You know, there's a lot of truth to this idea. We always focus on the negative, but if we step back sometimes and say, you know what, this is really good. Yeah, it doesn't look as good as it may appear. Obviously, to most of us, that's not the way you want to start a vacation. But you know what, sometimes we say, you know what, Kosh Baruch is really good to me. And I believe that's why we always read this parasha right before Rosh Hashanah. We come to the end of the year, and we reflect on the year. And we say, well, I would have liked things to be different. I would have liked it to be this way, and this didn't go my way, and I didn't get that deal, and this. Says the Torah, let's look at it with a different vision. Let's look at it with the Bikurim idea. What's the Bikurim idea? I'm archetype. Because by and large, overall, it's pretty good. Baruch Hashem, I'm still around, I'm still here, I'm still breathing, I'm still active, whatever else, I have my family, Parnasa, whatever it is. Yeah, I'd like to have more of it, of course. I'd like to have more money and more this. You know, Baruch Hashem, appreciate what we do have. That's possibly why it's always read right before Rosh Hashanah, for this reminder of to appreciate the good. That's the idea of being a Makir Toiv. A Kafir Toiv means all you see is bad. No matter what it is, it's bad. Makir Toiv means you have a different vision. You're looking at things differently. Things are not as bad as they look. Things are positive. Things are not as bleak as we make them out to be. And it's possibly why we read the Bikurim this Shabbos before. But there's another lesson in the Bikurim. There's another lesson in the Bikurim where a person works on his field for an entire year. Hours and hours, months and months. And he takes these beautiful fruits and gives them away. Give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, that's not an easy thing to do. I worked on this field so hard. And I spent so many, I sat in the sun and I worried about my produce. I just give it away. That's the lesson of Bikurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, give it to me, and we give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I always felt that this time of the year, as the school year starts, for many parents, they have to make tough decisions with their children. Send your children to this yeshiva, this school, that school. And your kids are not around as much. You don't get to spend as much time as you'd like to. You don't get to see them as often, whether they're in a dormitory, not in a dormitory. Or even more so, if your children move far away, they're in a different country, and they're doing so because they feel this is best for their Abayidus Hashem. That's really Avos Bikurim. Your mom is giving them Bikurim. These are children that I raised, and I put energy into them. I spend time with them. And I'm giving them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm saying, listen, you, they're not mine. They're yours, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They want to go somewhere where they're going to grow as Yidden. I'm going to do it. So I believe this time of year when many people send their kids off to school, this is the time of the year where people have to make, you know, that departing, you know, idea with their children. Some people are happy their kids go away, whatever it may be, depending on how they behave at home. But the case is, I think this is an important lesson of Bikurim that we live with even today. This idea that we give up our children, and we'd like for them to be around more, we'd like to see them more, especially if they have grandchildren. They can stay somewhere else. Let them ship the grandchildren closer to us. But the idea of being able to give up and say, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm giving them to you. This is my work, my toil, I'm giving them to you because they're going to be able to serve you better. I think that's a lesson of Bikurim that goes beyond, even Bizman Hazeh, even after Beis HaMikdash, that lesson of Bikurim. But there's a theme in Parshas Kisavi, I believe, that the Torah is teaching us a very valuable lesson of how to be a giver and how to be a taker. In any relationship, whether it be Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, specifically in a marriage, there's a balancing act of how much to give and how much to take. In this week's Parshas, the Torah is teaching us about this balance of sometimes to be a giver, sometimes to be a taker. What is the Bikurim? The Bikurim is the realization of Hakar Satoif. Hakar Satoif means I'm appreciative that someone gave me something. It means you're receiving. And Rav Huttner writes, no one likes to say thank you. Why don't we like to say thank you? It makes us feel like we're less of a person. I need you. I can't do it by myself. We love to be self-sufficient. We love to do everything ourselves. We don't need anyone. But sometimes in life, you need to be able to accept. You need to take. You have to be a receiver. Then we have the Vidui. Right after the Bikurim, we have the parsha of the Vidui Maisa. The proclamation of that's made every fourth and seventh year, that I gave my Maisa properly and I did everything like I was supposed to. What's that realization? That's called being a giver. I sometimes have to learn how to give properly, how to give with the right attitude, with the right feeling, with the right mindset. That's the balancing act that the Torah is giving us in this expression. Sometimes you have to be able to receive properly. That's called being makir toiv. That's how you receive properly. Sometimes you have to give properly, which is what maaser is. Right to Rashi doesn't mean to give properly. It means you do it with simcha. You misamech yourself and you misamech others. When a person properly gives and he fulfills the second half, you can't have a world where only everyone's giving or only everyone's taking. There has to be this balance. Sometimes we give and sometimes we take, but we have to know how to give properly with the proper attitude and the feeling and the idea of simcha, and we also have to know how to take. What does it mean to be a taker? You take me, you'll be able to be makir toiv. My kids read a book, Yael Becomes a Giver. It's a beautiful book about this little girl who used to only want everything for herself, and she learned on her birthday how to give a gift to someone else. A very, very moving book. But the idea is that in life there's this balancing act of giving versus taking. We can't always give and we can't always take. Sometimes we have to learn how to sometimes give and how to give properly, which means you give it the right attitude, you give it the right feeling, you don't give it with attitude, you give the guy a check, oh, take my money, you give it the simcha, you're proud of what you're doing. And then the reversal, sometimes you take, sometimes you need to take. We can't do everything ourselves, we need to ask for help, and it's okay. But how do you ask for help and how do you respond to the help? But the Satmar Rebbe has a massive chiddush. We're going a little longer on Parsha this week, I guess because it's El. But the Satmar Rebbe has a gevaldik gevar, which we have to just mention, and then Blined will move on. Satmar Rebbe says that, we mentioned this many times, we had a whole halacha showing it. By Maisa, we have a principle called Aseh B'Shvil Shetis Hashem. A person gives Maisa, he becomes rich. So asks the Satmar Rebbe, why would Hashem do that? We know this world is not about getting reward. Next world is for reward. So why would Hashem build in a system? Why would he do it? So Satmar Rebbe says, based on this, he answers about 15 other questions, as he does in many of his pieces in this week's parasha. He says, no. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. Means if a person gives meiser, and he gives away his money, and he wants to get rich, why does he want to get rich? Says the Satmar Rebbe, he wants to get rich so he can be able to serve Hashem better. So he can pay for what it costs to be a Jewish person today, which is a lot, to pay for kosher food and for shul membership and tuition and all these other expenses. So then, b'shvil shetis Hashem. Then you'll talk and get wealthy, because you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it to serve Hashem better. Then I want to become wealthy so I can serve you, Hashem, better. I want to be able to do more as a yid, and I need money for that. However, if I'm doing it just for the sake of becoming wealthy, it doesn't work. And he said, that's pshat in Yitzchak, in Esav. What did Esav do with Yitzchak? He told Yitzchak, I take off Meiser. Why did he pick Meiser? Says the Satmar Rebbe, because Esav thought he'd get rich this way. Because he knew the Gemara says, Aseh B'Shvil Shetis Asher. So Esav thought if he could do Meiser, he'd become wealthy. Why didn't it work, said the Satmar Rebbe? Because he had the wrong machshavos. He had the wrong intentions. He did it just to get rich. If you're doing it just to get rich, it's not going to work. That answers the Chafetz Chaim's kasha. The Chafetz Chaim says, I know so many people give Meiser and they don't become rich. According to the Satmar Rebbe, it's not a kasha. It only works if you have the right intention. If you're giving the money for the realization of, I want to be able to serve Hashem better with my money, then it works. But if you're doing it just to become wealthy for the sake of wealth, then the Satmar Rebbe says it doesn't work. If that's the case, that's the pshat, says the Satmar Rebbe, with the Vidui Meiser. What's the Vidui Meiser? Vidui is a confession. What confession are you making? He says, I'm confessing that I did this with the right intentions. That's the Vidui that I make. I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did not have ill intentions when I gave away my mice. I did not think I'm doing this just to become rich. I gave away my mice because I said I want to be a better Eved Hashem. And therefore he learns that's when we can say, Aseh B'Shvil Shetis Hashem. When a person has the intention of doing it, L'Shem Shemayim, that's when this magic trick works. Okay, one last thing. There's a Rashash in this week's parasha that's Kedai to mention. It says in the Pasuk, Baruch Ata B'Vayecha, Baruch Abba T'Tzecha. So Rashi says that the same way you came into this world without sin, you'll leave this world without sin. So the Rashash writes on the Gemara, on this Gemara, he says, this is a raya against the concept of Gilgulim. If you believe in something called a Gilgul, that means you're coming back from a previous life to live another life, so you have some form of Einshim on your plate. So therefore the Rashash writes that this is a raya against Gilgulim. So because of this Rashash, many Chassidim today don't learn Rashash. Because they don't like this comment of the Rashash. They think it's against, it's not in line with everything else they believed in. The Rashash was a wealthy businessman. Rashash lived in the late 1800s. He lived in Vilna. And he was very involved in the printing of the Vilna Shas. He gave a lot of money towards the printing of the Vilna Shas. Now, he was a Chosh of Yid, obviously. So that's why he has a pirish in the back of the Vilna Shas. Because he helped pay for it. So they gave him a pirish in the back. Reb Gifter used to say that his favorite Baal Bos to learn is the Rashash. That's what that was a Gifter's comment about the Rashash. Someone just told me yesterday a story with the Rashash and the kids of Shulchan Aruch, where the Rashash and the kids of Shulchan Aruch, The Rashash asked the kasha that was bothering for a very long time, and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch gave him an answer. And the Rashash was like depressed over that. He didn't think of it. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch said, don't be so depressed. I was zeicher to think of it because I'm really poor. You're wealthy, so you weren't zeicher to think about it. That was the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch's answer to Rashash's depression over not thinking about it. But in any case, that's a famous Rashash that people don't learn because of that. But there's just one last thing, and we believe that we really move on, is there's one pasuk of the Teicha that screams to me. Again, I think all the Teicha is referred back to in the Holocaust, but there's one pasuk that I think is so strong. It says, Chamorcha gozol mufanecha, your chamor will be stolen from you, v'lo yoshev lach, will not be returned to you. Soincha nesunos laivecha, your sheep will be given to your enemy, v'ein lecha mashiach, there will be no salvation. This is exactly what took place. Land was confiscated, property was confiscated, most of it was not returned. And there's no one to help you. Salvechik pointed out that one of the lessons of the Holocaust was that no one came to help us. We were completely alone. We were all by ourselves, and no one came to defend us, no one came to help us. Mamish fulfillment of this pasuk, the Indach HaMashiach. The Klausenberger Rebbe who suffered in the Holocaust, one in his Beis Medrash a few years after the Holocaust, when they got to Parshas Kisavoy, and they started reading the Teicha, and in many shuls, the Baal Kari reads in a lower volume. And the Klausenberger Rebbe said, raise the volume, louder, louder. And this went on a couple of times. And then finally, the guy's not going to fight with the Klausenberger Rebbe. And then after davening, he asked the Rebbe, he said, what's the pshat? So the Rebbe told him, the reason why we read it quietly is because we don't want it to happen. It shouldn't befall on anyone. But it already happened to us. Everything that's written here already took place in Klaus, already happened. We already suffer. Now we're ready for the Nechama. Now we're ready to read the Bracha. So he said, he passed in the Halacha L'maisa that we can read the Teicha out loud. So ruled the Klausenberger Rebbe. And he can say it because he went through it. But the idea that we read the Parshas Kisavei before Rosh Hashanah is because we want to finish up with the Klolos. We want to say, no more Klolos. We suffered enough this year, enough tragedy, enough casualty this year, Mr. Hashem. We hope that the next year should only bring us brachos for ourselves, for our families, for all of Klal Yisrael. I'd like to welcome back the Freeman, Mr. and Mrs. Freeman. Welcome back. We missed you very much. We know you with us in spirit, but it's definitely great to see both of you here back in person. Yes, great to see you back both. Okay, so we picked up over here. I think most yeshivas don't start till 10 o'clock today, so I think we have the chance of learning at a time where everyone else is not yet learning. It's always a schos to learn when people are not learning. I think in most yeshivas today, those that are open before Labor Day, those that are open and are active, I think they start later. So we have a chance to, or they're sleeping, right? So we really have a chance to learn Torah at a time when people are not learning, as before many svarim, and a person learns at a time when people are not learning, is a much bigger schos in his limud Torah. We left off last week, we were discussing Shita Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer writes that you're allowed to bring the moil, is allowed to carry the knife to the baby to do the milah. So Tosfos had a kasha, why not bring the baby? Because by bringing the baby, it'll just be over chayneis. It's a lesser aveira, it's better to be memayed in the aveiras. So we spoke heavily last week about, do we say chayneis esatzmai? Don't we say? Now we're moving on to a new svar. Tosfos writes over here, number one, v'oide shleimer, another answer to why it's not better to bring the baby and it's okay to bring the knife. Again, Tosfos is assuming in this answer that it's true. Bringing the baby would only be a violation of the Rabbanan, while bringing the knife is a violation of a deraisa, and it's still okay. Why, says Tosfos? V'yoydei shleimer, dekiven deyoyse bekal, yavi akli mishayavi atinik. It's a lot easier. I try and pack up your kids to get them to go anywhere. It's a lot easier to bring a knife. To bring the baby, it takes much more effort and time, and it's easier to bring the knife. So therefore, shari Rebbe Lozer permits you to bring the knife, kidei lemaher hamitzvah, to do the mitzvah faster. So the words of Tosfos sound like there's some maila of doing a mitzvah quicker. Meaning, if you'd have to pack up the baby and put on a snowsuit and bring the baby to the moil, the bris would start at 10 o'clock. If the moil does it, the bris will start at 8 o'clock. So that's a svara, because the bris milah will take place 2 hours earlier. That's some form of a svara. Kadei lemar mitzvah, it justifies Rebbe Eliezer being mechal Shabbos on a deraisa level, as opposed to being mechal Shabbos on a derabbanan level. Now Tosfos has to back this up. This is a massive chiddush. Where does Tosfos know this from? So Tosfos says, I have a raya to this. What's my raya, says Tosfos? Ki demuchach b'gemara. I have a raya from a gemara. What gemara? So the gemara in Amud Bey says, in the sheet of Rebbe Lozer, the Omar, the gemara says, Palmacha shachachu v'leiviyu zal merev Shabbos. There was a story in Rebbe Eliezer's town, where they forgot to bring the knife on Friday. So what happens? V'eviyu b'shabbos shaloi b'ritzoinim. What they did was, they followed a mahalach that Rebbe Eliezer was not proud of. They decided to bring the knife on Shabbos, but they brought it in a roundabout way. What did they do in a roundabout way? Instead of bringing it in the middle of the street, right, leaving one house, walking down the street and bringing it to the second house, they brought it through the backyards. They jumped from roof to roof and went through the backyards because they thought, this way I'll only be in a violation of a derabbanan. If I have a choice to be in a violation of a deraisa or a derabbanan, it would probably be better to violate a derabbanan. What happened? Rabbi Eliezer found about this and he was very upset. He told him this was wrong. You shouldn't have done it. Although you had an option of going derais to Rabbani, you're supposed to go derais. Says Taisus, what do you see? Alma, the Shari Rebbe Lazar, der Chushis Rabbim, David derais. You see the Rebbe Lazar permit going through Rishis Rabbim, which would be a violation of a Torah Isser, Kedelum Mahir HaMitzvah, for the sake of doing the mitzvah faster. Even though you could have done it in a way which had only been a rabbinic violation. So therefore, Taisa says, I have a proof to my idea that Rabbi Eliezer has this unique idea, whatever the pshat is, we don't know yet, but Rabbi Eliezer has this idea that if I could do a mitzvah faster, I have the right to violate the Torah in order to do it faster. Yeah.
What is not to it? Maybe you would have said, don't do it until Sunday.
I'm gonna have to talk about that. Hold on. Hold on with that chat.
What is the rabbinic violation?
Because there would be, it wouldn't be the rights to be going with Shusha Yochid. You'd be carrying from a Shusha Yochid to another Shusha Yochid, which is the Nisid Rabban. It's not a Nisid Raisa, or you might have a Shusram Be'emtza.
So if you cross into the public, then it's
the right. If you go, you walk down the street like over here, then you'd be in a violation. If I jump from roof to roof, I'm going from one Shusha Yochid to another Shusha Yochid, which would only be the Rabban.
Why did Rabbanan make that?
So they were guys that you can't transfer other rishusim as well. Right. Although you can make or adim their rights, it's only from a private to a public. They said you can't even go from one private to another private. So what needs explanation in Taisvis is what's the shot? Why is it? Why would Rebbe Eliezer say that? Again, the way it works according to Rebbe Eliezer is I can have the meal take place at 12 o'clock by going through the backyards, and I have the meal take place at 10 o'clock by carrying it.
Oh, maybe he'll try the hutra.
So that's what we need to get to. Is it hutra or the chuya? This is going to be the big shaila in this Taisvis. Now, Taisvis, all he did was he backed up his sheet. He backed up his sheet with the Gemara later on. He said, I'll prove to you that I'm right from the Gemara. From the fact that the Gemara said that Rebbe Eliezer got upset at them. Why did Rebbe Eliezer get upset at them? Because Rebbe Eliezer thought you are allowed to violate their rights. So if you're allowed to violate their rights, you're allowed. The problem is, there's another Taisus. On that Gemara that Taisus just quoted, Taisus over there has a kasha. Frek the Rashba on Taisus, kasha the Rashba, ha aminu the kamam bepirkin, kol makim sha'ata moitzi asei v'lois asei, im ata yochol lekayim eshnei mutav. Taisus Gufa asks in the next Amud, what is Pshat and Rebbe Lazar? We use this Rebbe Lazar to back up our Shita. But Taisus in the next Amud turns around and says, well, Taka, what is Pshat? Why are you allowed to violate the Torah if you can get away without violating the Torah? And he quotes an important Gemara in the name of Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said that if you're presented with Asei Dachalais Asei, you're presented with an Asei on one hand and a Lav on the other hand, so we try to make the two things work together. If it's possible that I don't have to violate the Lav to do the Asei, terrific. If I'm stuck, I'm pressed up against the wall, then I do what I have to do. So therefore, says the Gemara over there, the Gemara later on, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, the Gemara says we apply this rule of Rish Lakish. So Taisus asks, if you apply the rule of Rish Lakish to Rebbe Lazar, now the Gemara assumed that Rebbe Lazar holds Rish Lakish's idea, but then you shouldn't be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Says Taisus,
what's the principle though? I mean,
the principle is that you don't
miss above a day of Eira anyway. So
no, when we have an Asay and a Lois say they come together. Terry says, let's say for example, Hashem says, I want you to do Bishmini on the 8th day. And Terry says, also, I want you to keep Shabbos. So those two things come in conflict. So we discuss the possibility of us saying, Asay Dechelois Asay. But that's only, we don't say it by Shabbos. We mentioned from the Mishnah Sabarin that over there it's a fulfillment of the Shabbos, not a violation of the Shabbos. But over there, let's say the Gemara. Right. That's true. But the Gemara says, on Kuf Lamed Gimel, the Gemara is talking about by Tzaras. It says that you're not allowed to cut off a Tzaras, but it also says, B'yoyim HaShemini Yimol, Bissar or Losar. You got to cut the Basar. So what do you do when those two things come in conflict? You have to cut the Basar, but you're not allowed to cut off a Tzaras that's on the Basar. So that's what the Gemara is discussing, that how can you get around these two things that come in conflict? So the Gemara over there says, when two things come in conflict, you try to come up with a way that to resolve the conflict. So asks Taisvis, so why don't we do that here also? I have a conflict. I got to get the Mael's knife to the Mael to do the Mila. But I have two choices. I can violate the Torah by carrying in Rishis Rabim, or not violate the Torah. So why don't we apply the rule that if you don't have to violate the Torah, then don't violate the Torah?
Because that's what the limit of Beyom HaShmini is telling you.
Okay, hold on a second. So let's see Taisus. Taisus is going to deal with that Mitech Dvar. So Taisus says, V'hacha, third line. V'hacha over here, kivin the efshe, l'kayim eshneim. L'aviyu derech gagos, chatzeis v'kafifah. Since over here I can do both, I can bring it not in a violation of the Torah and have a knife for the Milah. Amayov yoyis derech Rishis Rabim. Why would you bring it derech Rishis Rabim? So what Taisus is really asking is, what's Pshat in our first Taisus? Our first Taisus told us it's okay. Taisus is asking, well, why is it okay? Says Taisus, don't try to give me a lomdish answer. Don't try to tell me, says the Divrei Cheskel, that this is Hutra. Don't try to tell me that since the Torah writes explicitly ubiyoyim hashmini yimol, that's like the Torah's way of saying that milo on Shabbos is hutra. If it's hutra, it's Tuesday. If it's Tuesday, you do whatever you got to do. Says Taisvis, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. Why not? Says Taisvis, it's not true. Dali kamon. Because the same Gemara that talks about cutting off a tzaras by the makam amila, the kamon gabay basar, afilu b'makam beheris yakutz, even if it's the place where there's a beheris, where there's a tzaras, you're still supposed to cut it. There it says in the Torah explicitly also, yimol besar alosa, you're supposed to cut off the basar. If the basar has a beheris on it, if it has a tzaras on it, you still got to cut it. And still, the Gemara over there says, kiri shlokish, damar shlokish, komakim shatim maitzi. So therefore, says Taisvis, don't try to give me some lumish answer that milah on Shabbos is hutra, and therefore when it's hutra, all bets are off, which is not true. Because the Gemara says the same concept of Reish Lakish by tzaras on a milah. And that tzaras on a milah is also explicitly in the Torah.
Is there a way to get around?
So the Gemara over there says if you have someone else cut off, not the father, so it's Einam Eschavin, so then it's bad. That's what the Gemara says over there. So Taisvis is assuming, and this is what we're going to discuss later today, hopefully, Taisvis is assuming that cutting that milah on Yom HaShmini on Shabbos and cutting off a tzaras on the makam amila are the exact same things. They're both explicitly written in the Torah, and they're both considered hutra. And if they're both considered hutra, they both have the same rules. And if one we apply Reish Lakish, the other we should apply Reish Lakish also. So what is? How does Taisvis end off?
No,
it's not hutra. So they're both the same. So they're both dechuya. Now the way Taisvis ends off is a steer with our Taisvis.
But one you have an option of not doing, the other one is no option.
Okay, good. So that's another big shiloh. Whatever happened, just pushing off the mila. Just do it the next day. So that's something we'll have to try to get to today as well. That's something that should be a viable option if it doesn't become a conflict. So if it's not a conflict, there's no
option.
But
you
the Beharis? I don't know how long it's going to take for the Beharis. I'm not sure. I don't know. But the question is how... that's the question. That's Machloikish Mishoinim. When you have something that's in conflict and you say, well, if I just wait a little bit, the conflict is resolved, are you allowed to do that? That's what some Achrenim want to use for our Taisvis. And maybe that's why Mila, you can say that. Just you wait a day. It's a big deal. You wait a few hours. It's not Shabbos. You wait till Sunday. You'll be able to do it.
So what's the matter with what the townspeople did? So they got out of the Asilah. The
no, but they were Mechal Shabbos.
But they were on a Darvana level.
What do you mean? No, so he's saying on a Daraisa level.
They weren't on a Daraisa level. They were on a Darvana level.
No. And Rabbi Elazar thought it was wrong. He thinks they should have went through the Torah. Rabbi Elazar thought they should have been violated the Torah.
Because he had this idea that to move it up.
So right. So
how does that work?
So Freck. That's what we got to get to. But L'chaira, these two Taisvim are
still. In the car to the shul,
you get the faster. Yeah? Aren't these two Taisvim are still?
Saying that the Tosos okay. Is the Rashba and the other Tosos is.
Yeah, but what? Okay, that's the easy way out. And the easy way out is, and that's usually the right answer.
That's right.
It could be. I don't know. L'chayr, we have a steer in Taisus. Let's just explain the steer. I think why it's a steer. Taisus by us feels very comfortable saying that to make a mitzvah happen faster, Rebbe Elazar holds you're allowed to violate Shabbos. But yet when Taisus Daf Kof Lamed doesn't understand why Rebbe Elazar permitted it. I don't understand the kash. Rebbe Elazar permitted it because Rebbe Elazar has this massive chiddush that if you're going to do a mitzvah faster, you're allowed to violate the Shabbos. So we would assume that carrying it through the main thoroughfare will be a lot quicker than jumping rooftops to rooftops. Even though we'll see the Divi Cheskel argues on that premise. That, I think that we would all assume like that. I think we all assume that if you carry it down the middle of the street, instead of jumping from roof to roof, it would be faster.
I mean, it has to be that, otherwise why would Rebbe Elazar get named?
Right, okay.
If it's got the exact same time, what would there be to
the didn't know that when they started. They might not have known that when they started this. And I don't know if they practiced on Erev Shabbos to see how long this is. We'll get to it. Again, I agree. I think the simple reading of our Taisvis is that we can assume that if you carry Derek Gagas, Chatzeris, it will definitely take longer than if you walk through the middle of the street. So why didn't Taisvis just answer very simply? That whenever you're allowed to do the mitzvah faster, Rebbe Elazar has this chiddush, which we don't understand yet, that you are allowed to violate the Torah. So here also.
But the basis for the chiddush is that it's hutra, really.
Maybe.
And that's
maybe,
where it
maybe.
Comes from. Otherwise.
Okay.
Otherwise, maybe. It would apply to everything.
But then
it would apply to driving to shul on Shabbos.
Okay, good.
But he's limiting it to two specific examples.
So we made it sound like that Taisa doesn't hold this chutzah. That Taisa holds this really d'chuy. So l'chayra, these two Taisa should present the steer. So the Masha asks this kasha. The Masha number three seems to be bothered with this kasha. He writes like this. He says, the second line, number three, first line, v'nira, d'loy nachti hachalak shuye ma'hi d'reish lakish. Points out the Masha, why didn't our Taisa ask the same kasha, like Taisus didn't have kufalam of days. Why didn't our Taisus walk in and say that since we have this premise of Reish Lakish says if you don't have to violate the Torah, don't violate the Torah. So therefore, why are you allowed to violate the Torah? Why didn't we have that background? Our Tosfos, they had no background of anything about Reish Lakish. That was only in Daf Kuf Lamed, Amid Beis. Why don't we talk about Reish Lakish? Says the Maharsha, because we're not going with Reish Lakish right now. Why not? He says, "Mahid Reish Lakish b'chamakim shatamayt sasev loy sasev matiyach v'shnei mutav t'lav hachi kashu hul kama minid Reish Lakish ha'chadav b'kusha." That we're going to ask later. At this point, Tosfos is not asking about Reish Lakish. So what's bothering Tosfos? Elo de misvara nachti hachal hakshes. Tosfos by us was asking from a logical point of view. What was Tosfos' starting point when Tosfos said, it's better to carry the baby than to carry the knife? We could have learned Tosfos that it was coming off of a Reish Lakish. That since they know there's a Reish Lakish later on that says that if you can be not violate the Torah, it's better not to. So therefore here also, if I can carry the baby, I won't violate the Torah, that's better. That's not the way we learn Tosfos. Because says the Maharsha, that's not Pshat in Tosfos. Tosfos was not asking based on Reish Lakish as a Svara. Our Tosfos was asking just simple logic. If you don't have to violate the Torah, why violate the Torah? Forget fancy Svaras of Reish Lakish. Just simple. If you don't have to violate the Torah, why should you violate the Torah? So the Maharsha is learning that our Tosfos is...
That's basically what Reish Lakish is saying.
It is and it's not, because Reish Lakish is working with a system. His system is that if two things come in conflict, so let's make the two things work. What's that really called? That's Techuya. Reish Lakish might be... Our Gemara is just working with Stamos. How do we understand that Reb Elazar's had to be Mechal Shabbos? So we'll see why that makes a difference in a second. Says the Maharsha. So therefore, what? So what was Tosfos' second answer? Tosfos knew that this answer would never fly for Reish Lakish. Because you could do the mitzvah faster. So what? You could do the mitzvah faster. But you could do the mitzvah without violating. Reish Lakish is all about making two things work together. Reish Lakish's mind is, how can I make the Torah work together? So telling me that I could do the mitzvah faster, Reish Lakish would be like, that doesn't answer anything. You could still make the two things work. You'll do it 2 hours later, and you won't have to violate the Torah. So that's why this Tosfos would never work for Reish Lakish, says the Maharsha. So why does it work for our Tosfos? He says, he calls to him over there, you have to wait, Maharsha is learning that our Tosfos was a svar. Give me a justifiable reason that you're allowed to violate the Torah. So says Reb Elazar, I'll give you a justifiable reason. Because it's a zrizus in the mitzvah. You do the mitzvah faster. Or we'll say it a little bit more lomdish. It's letzarech hamila. I am justifying my chilul Shabbos because this is what I need to get the milah done. Part of getting the milah done is getting the milah done in the most efficient, quickest way. So my being mechalel Shabbos is that. When I'm mechalel Shabbos to get the milah done 2 hours earlier, I'm justifying that under the banner of tzarech milah. And Reb Elazar holds milah v'kol tzarecheh as deicha Shabbos. But Reb Reish Lakish is not coming from that banner. Reish Lakish is coming from, how do I make the Torah work with the other things the Torah says? So if I can make the two things work, I have to make it work. So telling Reish Lakish that I can do the mitzvah 2 hours earlier, that's not what he wants to hear. He works with Techuya. Reish Lakish works one thing pushes the other. These things don't have to push away each other. You can make them work. I won't be his reason? Fine, it won't be his reason. But our Tosfos is going under Reb Elazar's banner. Reb Elazar's banner is anything that's called Tzarechei Milah. Anything that's needed to ensure that a milah happens.
It's unique to milah. It's not with any other mitzvah. It's not under the banner of Zrizim Makdim or mitzvah as a general.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll talk more about that in a second. If it's Zrizim Makdim generally or it's Tzarechei Milah, the way I'm saying it now. It says do the milah. Reb Elazar holds, you're allowed to do anything that's relevant to the milah, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. So he'll hold that this is Tzarechei Milah. The first Teretz of Tosfos will tell you that's not called Tzarechei Milah. Tzarechei Milah means the knife and all the things that you need is Tzarechei Milah. Just to get the milah done 2 minutes faster, that's not called Tzarechei Milah. Maybe that's one of the ways of learning Pshat and our Tosfos over here. Now, L'chaira, this should be a stira to our Tosfos that we mentioned once in Yevamos. We had a Tosfos in Yevamos that said that Reb Elazar holds, you're allowed to sit Friday afternoon, no good and well that you don't have a knife, and you'll get the knife on Shabbos. That's not a problem. That's okay. Why should that be okay? Shouldn't that be a violation of E'ef Shelekayim Shneim? I could do both. The answer is no, because on Friday, we mentioned this, you don't have a mitzvah on Friday. That's the Or Sameach's Pshat. You don't have a mitzvah on Friday. The mitzvah starts on Shabbos, so on Shabbos they have a mitzvah that comes in conflict, so then it's a problem. Or the other pshat is that you're going to have to say that it's not Tzarechei Milah. I'm allowed to take care of all the things that I need for the milah. So when I wake up Shabbos morning and I don't have a knife, so now I'm in a situation of Tzarechei Milah. I got to do what I need to do to be able to get a knife. If what I need to do is go to the store and buy a knife, so I'm allowed to go to the store and buy a knife. That's my heter according to Reb Elazar. I'm allowed to take care of all Tzarechei Milah on Shabbos. Reb Elazar extends it. He holds Tzarechei Milah means making sure the Milah happens 2 hours before instead of 2 hours later. That's also somehow under the banner of Tzarechei Milah. But according to Reb Elazar, Tzarechei Milah, that's the catchphrase. It's matter under the banner of Tzarechei Milah. The problem is the Tosfos Rosh. The Teis Rosh says clearly not like what we're saying now. The Teis Rosh on Daf Kuf Lamed, Amid Beis, on that Gemara that we quoted about Rebbe Lozer not being happy with the way they brought the knife. So Teis Rosh writes the number 4, Tema. He asks, why Taka, are you allowed to carry the knife through the Shasrab? What happened to the din of Rish Lakish that if you can get around the Torah, it's better to get around? He says, different terminology. Chiv of mitzvah. To show that you love the mitzvah Rebbe Lozer permits, to bring it the short way, in order to quicken the mitzvah.
What happened to the love of Shabbos?
Yeah, listen to this line. The chashuv lay, and therefore it's considered ki'ilu efsha. It's as if I have no other way of doing it. And what was Rish Lakish's rule? When the two things become a conflict, try to resolve the conflict. Says Rish, I can't resolve the conflict. It's impossible. I'm stuck. I have no other way to do it. I have to do it the short way. And Rish Lakish says it's only when you have two ways. I don't have two ways. I only have only one way. I could only do it the short way, the Chil Shabbos way. Even the Yosef Bekal Nasa Derech HaKotzer. It's easier to do it the short way. The Ikach Chivov Mitzvah. What do you see from the Tosfos Rosh? The Tosfos Rosh used our Tosfos to answer the Kasha later on. Not like the Mashah that there's two separate sugyas. There's a sugya of Rish Lakish and the sugya of Be'al. It's all one big thing. The answer to all the Kashas is that if you can justify why you're doing the Mitzvah this way, that becomes now Chivov Mitzvah, Hidr Mitzvah, whatever word you want to use, and that's mutter under the banner of Rebbe Lozer.
Is that mover from a Dechuya to a Hutra?
That's the question. Maybe that's what it sounds like. It sounds like now that it might be a Hutra according to Rebbe Lozer.
And since when is Zor is part of a Halacha?
Oh, good.
Zor is a nice thing to do.
Okay, we'll get to that in a few minutes. Right. That's a problem.
Whatever
you
have by
Milan
Shabbos,
you
have the same feeling as by Milan
Baharis.
Well, why are we
distinguished? We're going to see. We're going to see the Chassam Sefer has a shtickle Torah about that. Hopefully, we'll get to that as well. So this Tosfos Rosh is.
You have two mitzvahs. What happened to my chib of Shabbos? Yeah, I love Shabbos so much that I'm even going to delay a bris by 2 hours.
I'm not sure. Why? Again, the truth is, we're going to see later on in the Gemara that the Gemara discusses specifically by Mila this concept of Chiv of Mitzvah by Mila. That is a special svar by Mila. But yeah, these are hard svars to understand.
They're both osim.
So that's correct. That's true.
Risim,
yeah, that's right.
Osim.
That's true. So the question is, what are we supposed to exactly make of this Tosfos Rosh? So it sounds like from the Tosfos Rosh that he thought that no, that because I can't do it in the long version, and I can do it only in the short version. It's better to do it, and therefore it becomes almost an impossibility. We view it now, it's not like I have two paths. Tyson's looked at it, I have two paths, one way better, one way worse. Says there's one path. The only path is the short way, which involves Chol Shabbos, and therefore it's mostly because I have no choice. The Divrei Yecheskel in number 5 says something very interesting. Let's go back to our Tyson's for a second. Our Tyson started off with the idea that Tosfos gave two answers by us. Why don't you carry the baby versus carrying the knife? Tosfos gave two answers. The first answer was, it doesn't help to carry the baby, you're going to have technical chayneshis atzmei problems. The second answer of Tosfos is, you don't have to do that because whatever is easier, you do. So says the Divrei Yecheskel, what's the lomda shemachleikas between the two terutzim of our Tosfos? Pashup shad is, the first teretz says to the second teretz, well, you made this whole thing up. This, what type of svar is there that you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos on a deraisa level to do a mitzvah faster? What does that mean? You're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to do a mitzvah. To do a mitzvah 2 hours faster? There's no such svar. So the pashtus, when you read this Tosfos, the Tosfos on our sugya, you'd assume that the two Tosfos and the two terutzim are arguing in this nekuda. Is there a valid justification to be mechal Shabbos to do a mitzvah faster? You know, first teretz of Tosfos says there's no such svar. Says the Divrei Yecheskel not so fast. He writes, Number 5, simple answer, the first text of Tosfos seems not like that. Says the Divrei Yecheskel, he's not arguing on the premise of the second answer of Tosfos. He doesn't buy into the svar. Why? He's not so convinced it's true. The Vada Yismara Mitzvah Dizeret. Who says it's going to happen faster? The Efshe de Belavach, Yefshe Adayin Lamolo Shal Moyol, Ein Adayin Loivo, Ein Mitamacher. He says, who says you're going to get the bris done faster? Something else will come. Something else will happen. Caterer will delay it. Grandmothers aren't there yet. How do you know that everything is going to run so much faster because you do it that way? So what he's saying, this is a massive chiddush to learn this in Tosfos. I would have learned that the two Tosfos are arguing in Lamdas. He's saying, no, they agree in Lamdas. They're arguing in Metzias. Is it really true that the bris milah will take faster if you go that way. How do you know? You think everything works to, you know, oh, the moil shows up, now we start the bris? Puk chazim alma davar. It doesn't always work that way. You know, go to any bris. There's always delays. It's this reason, that reason, you know, someone, whatever it is. So he thinks that really, in theory, the first teretz of Taisus agrees to the second teretz of Taisus. That if you can honestly prove to me that I will do a mitzvah faster in with going one way versus the other, it's mutter. I just don't think it's true. That's what he says.
So what happened to Rabbi Lozzi's,
I don't know.
How do I know if I went over 100 times again? I get this soon. And I might find it.
Says it. Divya Cheskel Lefizeh. He answers up the steer in Taisvis. That's what he says next piece. Omnam near the Gamer Rajba Moidil Mara Mitzvah Deicha Shabbos. He says the second Taisvis that we started off with is not a steer to our Taisvis, like the Mashal learned. We mentioned that the Mashal learned that these two steer in Taisvis. Why? Because why didn't Taisvis, the second Taisvis, just answer that the reason why it's better to go through the street instead of jumping the rooftops is because you'll get there faster? Must be Taisus doesn't hold of getting there faster. So it's a steer to our first Taisus. So the Marsha questioned and answered. The Taisus Rosh said, no, they're exactly the same. Says the Devi Cheskel, no. He agrees in principle, Elo de Svilo de Mistoma de Amitza Mismara he dezeh. He doesn't think it's true. He doesn't think things will happen faster if you bring it down the street versus jumping through the roofs. I'm not sure why. Sheyeviu derech Rab Mishiyav derech Gagos. This is where we get. To Afagav de Mapish Betircha Mikomakam Haderech Yosek Kroiva. I don't really understand the svara exactly. I would have argued maybe, you know, who knows what happens when you start walking and things happen. That's the way he says it. Start schmoozing. So this is his chiddush, a massive chiddush from David Chesed. It makes things very nice. It answers up the steer and Taisus. I would have never thought like this on my own. I would have never thought that there's a svara to argue on the mitzias of the Taina. He's saying that all Rishonim agree that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to do a mitzvah 10 minutes earlier or 2 hours earlier, but we're arguing, will the mitzvah really happen to? But Lo Yitzur, we had a Navi here, and the Navi will tell you, don't worry, the mitzvah will happen 10 minutes earlier. Father, go out and be Mechal Shabbos. We would have thought not like that. We would have thought that it's a hard justification to be able to violate the Torah just to do a mitzvah earlier. Okay, but what's Takab Shan and Taisvis? If you look at the Lashon of our Taisvis, Taisus uses words of lemaher hamitzvah. It doesn't really say why that makes anything better. You'll do the mitzvah faster. And so what? So what's the mile of doing the mitzvah faster? So you could learn zrizah magdim lemitzvah. That would be the assumption. Although Taisus never says those words. Be fair and honest, Taisus never says anything about zrizah magdim lemitzvah. If you look in the Ritva, in number 6, the Ritva says it a little bit more meforish. He writes, even Rabbi Lazar permits you to take a knife and walk down the street. If you can bring it as fast, then you should. But if it's going to take longer, it's going to be some form of an ikuv, if you go through the roofs, then maybe derech chushes rabim. Why? Shezrize makdim lemitzvahs. So here the mitzvah says it clearly that the justification for Rabbi Lazar is zrize makdim lemitzvahs. I'm allowed to be mechalal Shabbos because of zrize makdim lemitzvahs. That's the way the mitzvah learns.
Is zrize makdim separate and apart from the mitzvah, or is it?
That's the chakir. We're going to get to in a few minutes. Is zrize makdim lemitzvah a separate thing, a davar study, a separate mitzvah, or is zrize makdim is a chilek of the mitzvah itself? Meaning, when there's a mitzvah to do milah, attached to that is a mitzvah to do milah and to do it as soon as you can.
Why shouldn't that be applied to every mitzvah?
It might be. But it can only be those mitzvahs that are doicha Shabbos. So then any mitzvah that's doicha Shabbos, you'd be allowed to be doicha Shabbos for the zrizin element, if you assume like that side of the chakira. The most of us would have assumed zrizin makdim is a dovet study. There's the mitzvah, and then you will call it gavra. You have a din that you're supposed to do with zaris. That means you have a mitzvah that needs to get done. You have another din that you're supposed to do mitzvahs as soon as you can, but it's not connected to the mitzvah. It's more chiv gavra.
Comes
up. No one does that, right? We don't say zrizin that far.
Maybe we should also do it
in the afternoon. Right, so we know zrizin makdimin is pashtas adin lachatchila. No one would have thought zrizin makdimin should be strong enough to violate the Torah. That's going to be the chiddush of this ritva.
Okay. Does any mitzvah maybe because you learn out from the bris itself the whole meaning is zrizin makdimin mitzvah, so therefore that's why it pertains to legabi other mitzvahs?
Could be.
Not true.
Yeah, the problem is
the core of it is because v'yashkim avram babokim.
Right, but we still use zrizin makdimin chatar kula.
No, it's learned out. By bris it may trumpet versus everywhere else. No, because this is the makor itself.
Yeah, but again, how did it work even then? You know, then was it so strong that Zvizim Akdim would have been able to violate? I don't know.
Is
it Taka Derais to Zvizim Akdim? If a person makes a bris.
Yeah, because this is the Makor for it.
That's correct, yeah.
So maybe.
Maybe. Could be. Again, we really would have to spend more time really tackling. We're just really going to just touch the surface level of Zrizim Akim Mitzvah. It's more of a sugya in Psachim Daf Dalet that comes up in other places. Maybe that's why this Taisus. Again, I'm not so sure Taisus has to mean Zrizim Akdim. I'm not sure. Taisus doesn't say Zrizim. If you look in the Taisus Rosh, I'm not sure what the Taisus Rosh means either. He says a lot of words. He says some other words. He talks about Chivuve Mitzvah. I don't really know what that means either. He says over here what? The Mishum Chavuve Mitzvah Shari Rebbe Lazar, because of an expression of loving the Mitzvah, Rebbe Lazar permits you Lahavi Derech HaKotzer, to make it the short way, Kedei Lamara Mitzvah. That's the same Lashon Taisa says, to make the Mitzvah faster. The Choshev Le Ki'ilu Yefsher. So that, again, in Taisa Rosh, he's coming with a different angle. So there's Rosh's angle saying that I have to do it this way. He's coming to justify where there's no two options. Taisa started off, you have two options. You can bring it through the roofs or bring it through the streets. Says Taisa Rosh, there's no two options. It's only one option. You got to bring it to the street. Why? Says the Taisa Rosh, because Lemar HaMitzvah and Chavuve Mitzvah. So Chavuve Mitzvah seems to be more of an emotional expression.
It also sounds like something on the garment. When it's called Zrizim or something else, it sounds right. Like something I have on myself.
Yeah. Sounds like a very different...
I have
different,
a separate obligation myself to show how much I love the Mitzvah.
Maybe we'll see the Birkas of Rome. Avram Erlinger makes this point that he thinks the Taisa Rosh is even harder than Taisa Rosh to understand. Because the Taisa Rosh is a secondary step. Chavuve Mitzvah. Where does that play a role in Shabbos? So the Birkas Avram, and number 7, is bothered with the kash that everyone is obviously bothered with. He starts off, he says, "Is a chayrit tzarichin. Ha'im b'zeh elinyin zrizim makdim l'mitzvah." This whole thing is the reason. I get to do the bris mila 15 minutes earlier, and that's why I'm allowed to be mechal Shabbos. He says, that's what? That's the reason. K'vavol ha'hedja b'gmar ha'psachim. Im ken keitzan midas ha'zrizim doiches isa melach ha'shabbos. How can zrizim makdim be doiches Shabbos? Va'afilu im neymen demila hutra b'shabbos k'mash moysa b'shayin manal. Even if you want to tell me that Taisus holds its hutra, which is very debated, which we have to still talk about, that means the mila is hutra. Ain't zeh nitzvach l'etzem mitzvah ha'mila. Ela ma'ila ha'zrizus. Not the Zrizus part. Zrizus is an extra way of how to do the mitzvah, not the mitzvah itself. So he has a very difficult time understanding Pshat and Artosis. How does Zrizim Akdimin justify being Mechal Shabbos? So he writes, Omnom Kvar Biyarnu Bebechas Avram HaMesechas Pesachim Devemasol Shom Yesh Lachkor Be'inin Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaito. What does it mean to be Chaviva HaMitzvah? What does that mean to be Chaviva HaMitzvah? He quotes the Rashi in Pesachim, the Rashbam in Pesachim, that we don't eat on Erev Pesach, so we should eat Pita Oven. Should be hungry. What does that do? What does that make better? So he learns that that makes the mitzvah now a hidden mitzvah. If it's chaviv by you, if you like the mitzvah better, you're showing your love, right? When you're hungry, you're much more excited about eating versus when you're stuffed. So what? Either way, the matzah is going to get down your stomach. What's that kapshat? First Rashi, the beginning of Pesachim, 10th Perek, Rashi and Rashbam tell us you have to eat matzah on an empty stomach. Why? So you should eat a bitte oven. What does that do? The matzah goes down the same way. It's the same ma'is achila. What's the difference? So some form of chivov. Again, I would have learned that Taki can't eat it. We're pushing why you won't be able to eat it. But to be shame, don't say like that.
But you see by this something that troubled me about the whole idea with Rabbi Elazar, or is it Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Eliezer?
I think it's Rabbi Eliezer.
That about being able to sit back on Friday.
Right, that ties in your vomit.
Because you see over here that the mitzvah begins even before the mitzvah kicks in, like Pesach, the mitzvah to eat matzah is only at night. But yet I should prepare hours before the mitzvah, because I know it's going to help me when it comes to the time of the mitzvah to do the mitzvah better. So the same thing with Rabbi Elazar, how does he let you sit back? It's true. Even if you say the mitzvah didn't start until the eighth day, but, you know, Ezo Chacham Haroes Anola, what's coming up. So I should prepare everything in advance, show how much I want.
That was the kasha we had on Taisus Yevamos. Taisus Yevamos told us, this massive chiddush, Taisus Yevamos said, you don't have to. Taisa Yavama says that Rabbi Elazar Mamash holds, you're sitting Friday afternoon, you know the meal is happening Shabbos, you know you have no knife, and no one goes shopping to buy a knife.
You can't compare matzah.
Right now shows that even before the mitzvah kicks in, knowing that the mitzvah is going to happen, I should do what I can in advance.
Oh, but we didn't explain yet. So why taka are you not allowed to eat a lot on Erev Pesach? So what's that svara? So he says the svara is it's a hiddur mitzvah. Makes the mitzvah nicer. When you do a mitzvah with a chavivus, it's a hiddur mitzvah.
But it's not comparable to...
Except that notion, yeah.
Not eating before the first night of Pesach, so that you'll be able to eat the matzah later better, is not comparable to getting the knife ready, because you can eat before Pesach and be full and still, like you said, do the ma'is achila. It doesn't preclude the other one. You don't have the knife, you can't do the mila. So they're not.
No,
the
same. I'm saying if when you bring the knife and you whatever these words in the Rishonim are, when you do the mitzvah faster, that's an expression of chavivas hamitzvah. And my question is, what is that worth? So the answer is that makes the mitzvah nicer. when you do a mitzvah with in a quicker way, or a mitzvah that shows that you care about the mitzvah, that's a hiddur mitzvah. Just like when you eat the matzah on an empty stomach, that makes the mitzvah nicer. So again, but that doesn't answer the question. So what? So let's call it a hiddur mitzvah. Says the Birkas Avraham, hiddur mitzvah. You're having mechal Shabbos for hiddur mitzvah. He says the mochach mizeh the inyan zrizes gam milus beguf a mitzvah loy rak b'mida shel adam el a mitzvah shenasis b'hakdama v'zrizes in the salai day zeh tvei v'akoponim yesh b'hidr mitzvah. He wants to learn that zrizes makdimin, it's not just you did the mitzvah, it's a hidr in the maisa mitzvah. A mitzvah done with zrizen is a mitzvah done nicer or more beautiful. Therefore he says a hidr mitzvah yelag b'mechal Shabbos v'hidr mitzvah. It's machloekis rishonim shematzina b'ramam shechoyz al tzitzis shem akvin calls man shli pirish. The famous machloekis Ramam and Tor about going back for those strings that are not ma'akiv just for hider. So the Ramam holds you are allowed to go back. So it says the Birkas Ram. What do you see? He's assuming on Shabbos, even though that's part of the machloekis rishonim. That's the machloekis rishonim. So he's learning that Zrizis makes it a hider mitzvah, and hider mitzvah is deicha Shabbos. The Divrei Cheskel says it more lundish. Zrizin makdimin is a din in the mitzvah. Again, the Birkas Avraham didn't say this long. The Birkas Avraham said Zrizin Makdimin makes it a nicer mitzvah. Hidur mitzvah is Doicha Shabbos of Mila. The Divrei Cheskel says it differently. Zrizin Makdimin is not a Dovet study. There's do the mitzvah and do the mitzvah nicer. No! Do the mitzvah as quick as you can is part and parcel of the mitzvah. So the same way the mitzvah is Doicha Shabbos, Zrizin Makdimin is part of the mitzvah. Like we learned in Rebbe Lazar, Machshirei Mila Doicha Shabbos, because we learned Machshirei Mila is part of the Mila. And if the meal is Deicha Shabbos, the Machshirin. Says the Divrei Cheskel, that's the way you have to understand Zrizin. Zrizin is not just an extra credit check that you get separated from the mitzvah. It is the mitzvah. It's do the mitzvah and do the mitzvah quickly. So if I'm allowed to do the mitzvah on Shabbos, I'm allowed to do the mitzvah as well quickly on Shabbos as well. That's the way the Divrei Cheskel learns Taisa, which I think makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. To learn Zrizin Makdim, not so much a David study, but a chelik of the mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah, right. It's a din in the mitzvah, not without using Gavra Chefza terminologies. It's more of a din in, we thought it's a din in you. You have a mitzvah to do a mitzvah faster. No, the mitzvah has to be done in a faster way, because it's part of the mitzvah. It's do the mitzvah in a way that's... And therefore it's any mitzvah. It's any mitzvah.
So Rebbe Lazar applies it to universal.
So when we finally get to where Rebbe Lazar applies it to other mitzvahs, we're going to have to see if this would make sense. That's what we're going to have to hold off. But the Birkas Avraham is still troubled with the Tosfos Rosh. Again, the Tosfos Rosh was different than Tosfos. The Tosfos Rosh said something about Lemahir HaMitzvah, which we all assume meant Zrizin Makdimin, although Tosfos never said those words explicitly. The Ritzvah said explicitly, but the Birkas Avraham number 8 is still troubled. He says, V'yeshloimar, he quotes the Tosfos Rosh, who says, B'shum chivuvei mitzvah shayir ablaz l'havi derech ha-katzer, k'dei Lemahir HaMitzvah, he goes to the Tosfos Rosh, and three lines in, he writes, U'midvarav mevur, it seems like from the words of Tosfos Rosh, T'gam chivuv mitzvah doicha. Not only are you allowed to be doicha Shabbos for the mitzvah, or for his reason, just to express chivuv, to express a love. That's even harder to understand. The Tosfos Rosh is not learning that doing it faster makes the mitzvah better, like Tosfos. Doing it faster shows how much I love the mitzvah. What's that worth? Where's that doicha anything? Bishlam, if the mitzvah is done nicer, so that's a hidden mitzvah. But this is not the mitzvah done nicer, this is reflecting how I feel towards the mitzvah. When I get the Miles knife in 10 minutes versus 20 minutes, I'm showing the world I love Milo. Why is that doicha Shabbos? What's my reflection of how I view mitzvahs, a svarit mechal Shabbos? So he says, Bishlam in Tosfos, we'll learn Tosfos that it's a hidden mitzvah. Fine. When you do something faster, but the Rosh doesn't say that. The Tosfos Rosh keeps on talking about it's my reflecting my love for mitzvahs.
The whole point of any mitzvah, it's a vehicle to get us closer to Hashem. Are just ways that Hashem gets.
Yes.
So showing the chavivas, that's part and parcel of any mitzvah, logically, because I'm showing how much I love.
That's the idea,
I'm
yeah.
Closer to Hashem by showing you that I love his mitzvah.
It's a very slippery slope.
Yeah, I just don't see how you could justify that to be Mechal Shabbos.
I'm going
to
eat straight because it's going to make me stronger so I can daven more or learn more or whatever.
Maybe.
It's got to be some
something along those lines.
Something to rely on.
Okay, let's do one more shtickle and then we'll have to stop. But we were in the middle of a Tosfos, a number 2. Tosfos starts getting into a lomdish discussion about B'yom Hashmini Yimol Afilu B'Shabbos versus cutting off the Beharis of a Mila. Again, we have two Pesukim in the Torah. It says in the Torah, B'yom Hashmini Yimol B'Sar Alosek. That's the famous Pesuk. On the 8th day, you have to cut off the B'Sar Alosek. So we learn two things from that Pesuk. We learn that B'yom Hashmini Afilu Shabbos, and we learn that B'Sar Afilu if you have to cut off a Tzaras. So Tosfos' starting point was those two are the same. Whatever you hold for one, you hold for the other. If the one's Hutra, the other one's Hutra. If one's Zuchuyah, the other's Zuchuyah. And Tosfos said, since I see from the Gemara later on that Mila B'Tzaras is considered dechuya. So mila b'shabbos also must be considered dechuya. That was the words of the Taisus. So the Chassam Sofer quotes from the Magine Shloima, who disagrees. He writes over here, the Tiritz Magine Shloima, the Magine Shloima answers no. The mila b'shabbos hotra, mila on Shabbos is deemed hotra, umila b'tziraz dechuya. So chiluk. Such a beautiful chiluk. Why didn't Taisus think of it? Didn't Taisus just say before that they're the same? Whatever you hold by one, you hold by the other. Somehow the Magine Shloima comes out with this idea that he thinks it's not true. He thinks it's not the same. That it's possible that although Mila on a Tziras is Dechuya, the Torah says you have to cut off Makam Amila no matter what. The Torah says you're not allowed to cut off a Tziras. So when the two things come in conflict, we call that Dechuya, which means we apply Rish Lakish's rule. If I can get around it, I have to get around it. Yet Mila B'Shabbos is Hotra. It's Tuesday. Mila on Shabbos, we look at it Tuesday, and you do whatever you need to do. So therefore, that's the answer to the Kasha. So therefore, we don't apply Rish Lakish's rule to our Gemara, because Rish Lakish's rule is only when something is Dechuya. Mila B'Shabbos is not Dechuya. Mila B'Shabbos is Hotra. Now,
it makes sense. Great, except Tosos said don't.
Exactly. The problem with this Magine Shloim is, but didn't Tosos tell us, Ve'ein L'chalik, don't tell me such Lomdash HaChalukim? It's very, very strange. But the Chassam Sofer has a different kash. The Chassam Sofer says, Udvarav Tzarech Le'in. Says, I'll bring you from the Gemara that it can't be. The Efshel L'chalik Be'Mila L'Tzaras. The Haboy L'Melef L'Kamon Kuflam Be'Beis Mila B'Shabbos Be'Mila B'Tzaras. The Gemara later on, when it's trying to figure out how do you know Mila's Deicha Shabbos, so the Gemara said, let's learn it out from the fact that Mila's Deicha Tzaras. For 1 second, if the Magine Shloima is right, that Mila on Tziras is Tchuya, so how can I learn out that Mila B'Shabbos is Hutra from something which is only Tchuya? If I hold that Mila B'Shabbos is Hutra, and Mila B'Tziras is Tchuya, so how could the Gemara think about learning Mila B'Shabbos from Mila B'Tziras? That would leave me at a point where Mila B'Shabbos is only Tchuya. It wouldn't be Hutra. And we wanted Mila B'Shabbos to be Hutra. So the Chassam Sofer says, I don't understand how, according to this Magine Shloima, do you answer anything? Very strong kash. So the Chassam Sofer says, a very simple answer to Taisus' whole kasha. Says the Chassam Sofer, this concept of Hutra is only true in a Belazar's world. A Belazar holds Mila B'Shabbos Hutra. And if you hold Mila B'Shabbos Hutra, so then it's Tuesday. If it's Tuesday, you can do whatever you want. Longer route, shorter route, do whatever you want. The Gemara of Kuf Lamed Gimel, and when the Gemara talks about Rish Lakish, that's in Alibah de Hilchasa. That's in the way we pass in the Halacha. I.e. Rabbi Akiva, i.e. the Rabbanan. Those people hold Mila is the Chuya.
Wait, hold on. Mila or
Machshir Mila is the Chuya.
Right, but the Mila itself?
Yeah. Maybe even Mila itself is the Chuya, according to Rabbi Akiva.
So you don't know that, right?
That's the Chiddush, we'll talk more about this. That, and therefore, since it's only the Chuya, therefore we don't say the rule, therefore we do say Rish Lakish's rule. So our Taisus, number one, top Taisus, was going into Rabbi Eliezer's world. Rabbi Eliezer holds Mila's Hutra, no kasht. Taisus number two was going based on the Gemara, which is talking about Rish Lakish, which is going according to Rabbi Akiva, that holds Mila is the Chuya. Mila is the Chuya, you have to work with Rish Lakish.
Mila
B'Shabbos.
Mila B'Shabbos. Not the bus.
Right. Now there's just one kasht that we'll leave off and we'll have to get to on the next page, is the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch. If everything we're saying is correct, we're going to have a problem. The Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch, Yesh li zor, shlo yimoylu shnei moalim mila achas b'Shabbos. I don't know why you'd want to hire two moilim. One enough is expensive enough. But if you want to hire two moilim, because you want to get them both in, so you're not allowed to use two moilim on a Shabbos. You can't have one moil do the mila. No. One baby. You have one baby, you want one moil to do the mila and one moil to do the priya. The two different stages of mila. So you figure, you know, you have two friends that are both moilim. You want to both be mechabed them, whatever the case may be. So you say, listen, guys, you know, one of you does the mila, one of you does the priya, and this way I give you both jobs. Says mechab, you can't do that on Shabbos. One guy does the mila, one guy does the priya. The one who does the mila has to do the priya. Why? Because we have a klal that if a mol v'loy priya, kilo loy mol. So if you're going to just do the mila and you cut, then you walk away, so all you did was chil Shabbos. You didn't do any mitzvah. You didn't do any mitzvah.
Why is that?
The other way also.
Why you shouldn't allow that during the week either.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it.
There's no chil Shabbos.
You can, you know, you want to cut the baby's foot also, you could. You know, if you're okay with that.
So the other way also.
Right, you know mitzvah.
If you do priya without the...
So the Gemara doesn't say priya v'lo... I think the only said the other hand. Mo'a v'lo para.
Does this get into the Sugya Shneim Shasu or not really?
No. Maybe it should. I don't know. I mean, but so the Ramah argues. The Ramah says, V'lo imotzasi ra'i l'dvar. What are you talking about, the Mechaber? Who said you can't do two people? V'adarabah, nearly the Shari. I think you are allowed to have two Moilim take place. Why? The Hamila Dachye Shabbos. kamilas dechuya. Kimay avoid the b'mikdash. Just like the avoid in the Beis Hamikdash. Shekama kayhanim ayoyiv the mechalim Shabbos. There are many people that worked in the Beis Hamikdash. The me'achad the Shabbos nitan litchayis harei kochol uchol davim.
So but
you didn't do a mila yet.
His point is that it's the chui, but you didn't do the mila.
So Freck in Eidib Yehuda says in Eidib Yehuda, I don't understand the mechaber. What?
He didn't. Is not enough time between the mila and
But the point. But what you did is not deemed the mitzvah. What you did was just
the same thing. Because I'm saying he's finishing.
Well, one second. So Freck in Eidib Yehuda. 1 second. What happened to our Mishnah? Didn't our Mishnah say that Rebbe Eliezer says you're allowed to chop down wood? Chopped down, who chopped down the wood? You think the Maya went and chopped down the wood? The Maya called a bunch of yeshiva kids that were not listening to the laning anyways and told us, you guys, instead of eating cholent, go out and chop down wood. Why are they allowed to be Machal Shabbos? They're not the Maya. They're not doing the mitzvah. Elamai says the night of Yehuda, you see, that when you're Kol Shekin. So when you're involved, when you're contributing to the mitzvah, it's mutter. So what's the Machabes problem? What's the simple answer? According to Chassam Sefer, it's not a kasha. The Shulchan Aruch is going according to Akiva. If Akiva holds the chuya, the chuya means that when two things, it's not a conflict over here because you don't need them to do two parts. Rebbe Lazar is going in the world of hutra. Hutra, everyone and anyone can help. But when it's the chuya, not everyone can help. That's the chuya. According to this Chum Sefer, it adds up the night between this kasha and the mechaber. But we still have to see what's the nekudas amachloikes between the mechaber and the ramah. Is hutra or the chuya? Mr. Shem will have to wait for that till after Rosh Hashanah.
By the way, this Wednesday, Rabbi